Matthew chapter 11. What a great book this is. Book of Matthew. Chapter 11. Yes, we are done with chapter 10. It took us a couple of months, but we are here. Verse 1, chapter 11 of Matthew says, "Now it came to pass when Jesus finished commanding his 12 disciples that he departed from there to teach and to preach in their cities. And when John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said to him," he said to Jesus, these two guys, they said to Jesus, verse 3, "Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "Go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me." Or you could say, with the language that Jasmine was just using, and you would be fully accurate in how you say it, "Or exceedingly joyful is he who is not offended because of me." Let's pray. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name. I thank you that this word, it's our life, Lord. My life, it's our life. And we need it, Lord. We need your help, though. We need just the distractions of the week, the distractions of the morning, the distractions of now. We come into church and we're like, well, what's up with that person? Or are they looking at me weird? Or do I really belong here? Or man, I have all this I have to do after the service today. No, Lord, help us to focus on you. Please, your word says in Hebrews 12:2, "Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith." Yes, Lord, that's our prayer. Help us to shed the distractions and fix our eyes on you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, you may be seated. And so, verse 1 again says, I'm going to go through this verse by verse. "Now it came to pass when Jesus finished commanding his 12 disciples that he departed from there to teach and to preach in their cities." So in chapter 10, Jesus sends out the 12 apostles to preach to anyone and everyone they could find in Israel about the gospel. The gospel, the gospel, that word means the good news that the kingdom of heaven was upon them, was in their midst. And what is the kingdom of heaven? The kingdom of heaven is Jesus Christ himself. So they go out, they fan out into all the land, and then it says in chapter 11, Jesus follows them, and it says he goes into the cities which his 12 apostles had been in. Notice that it says at the end of verse 1, he departed from there to teach and preach in their cities, meaning the cities that they had just been in, telling everyone about him. So he follows them. And this, by the way, happens with you. So, man, if we learned anything in the last 2 months, it's you, me. We can't keep silent about our faith in Jesus Christ. We got to open our mouths. But don't get discouraged if someone doesn't receive what you say, because Jesus is coming in behind you. happens all the time. You may have heard this statistic that before a person comes to faith in Jesus Christ, it actually takes seven people or seven interactions with the truth before they finally say, okay, God, Jesus, I give up. Yes, I believe you. Come into my life. And so he follows them. Here it says in verse 1, into their cities, to teach and preach in their cities, to teach and to preach, to teach and to preach. You know, sometimes if we have a superficial, shallow reading, understanding of the Bible, we just think of Jesus in one way. He's that guy hanging on a cross. And that's supremely, that's sort of the focal point, the core of, yes, who Jesus was on earth. But there was a whole lot more. It says he taught and he preached. He says he teached and he preached. Now, the Old Testament book of Hosea says this, and this is God speaking, by the way. It says this in Hosea. It says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Lack of knowledge of what? Someone shout it out. The Bible. Not knowledge of, where am I going to get my second loaf of bread because I have a party tonight. No, that's not what it's talking about. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge of the Word of God. And so, if you watch the news and you're distressed, thinking things look so bad, this country is destroying itself, well, the answer is it is destroying itself. Why? Because, John, can we have it again? For lack of knowledge. Lack of knowledge in the Word of God. And what did Jesus do when he came? It says he teached and he preached. He teached and preached. You heard in the announcements today. At Calvary Chapel, we encourage everyone, not someone, everyone, to be saturated in the Word of God. Quinn, you did mention that, right? All right, okay. I took a quick step out. I hope you did. We encourage everyone, every one of you, to become saturated in the Word of God. If you don't know much about the Word of God, hey, today is the start. It's the start of the rest of your life, first day of the rest of your life. You need to get saturated in the Word of God. Hosea says again, my people are destroyed. They destroy themselves for lack of knowledge. And so we have our teachings almost of all the books of the Bible online. You can go right onto our website and you can go right through the Bible. So Jesus went from city to city teaching the Bible. Let's go to verse 2. Verse 2 says, and when John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said to him, to Jesus, are you the coming one? Meaning, are you the Christ? Are you the Messiah? Or do we look for another? Now, who is the John here? Someone shouted out. Very good. Only one person obeyed what I said. Shout it out. Who's the John here? That's right, John the Baptist. And so, who is John the Baptist? Where it says, and when John had heard in prison, what's that about? John the Baptist is in prison? It says, when John the Baptist is in prison, he heard about the works of Christ, and so he sent to Jesus, listen, are you the one? Or do we look for another? Now, if you read that and that sounds strange, that John the Baptist would ever be saying something like that, it is strange. It's very strange. But let's think about, again, who this John the Baptist is. So if you could turn with me to the left in your Bible to Matthew chapter 3. Can you turn to the left in your Bible, just a few pages, to Matthew chapter 3, and we're going to learn a little about John the Baptist. Matthew chapter 3, verse 1 starts off, this is before anybody knew about Jesus except a handful of people in Nazareth, in Galilee. So this is before anybody knows about Jesus. It says in verse 1, it says, in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness in Judea, saying, repent, meaning turn away from whatever you're doing and turn to God. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, who did I say a few minutes ago, what is the kingdom of heaven? Jesus himself. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then go down to verse 4. It says, John, this guy was an interesting character, to say the least. Verse 4 says, now John himself was clothed in camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts, that would be grasshoppers, and wild honey. Then it says, then Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the region went out to him and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he, John the Baptist, saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees, those were the religious leaders, coming to his baptism, he said to them, you brood of vipers! Vipers are what? Snakes. You brood of snakes! Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? That's speaking of God's judgment to come. Like, who warned you? Why are you here? Why are you here? Who warned you about this wrath that's coming? And he's speaking of a judgment of God that's going to be coming on them and those like them. John the Baptist, well, let's continue in verse 11. Go down to verse 11. So this is John the Baptist speaking. Again, no one knows about Jesus. He says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So what is this about? This is the same John who in Matthew chapter 11 is sending word to Jesus, hey, are you the one? Are you the Christ? Are you the guy that I talked about and told everyone about that you're coming? Or are we going to wait for another? And so, why is John asking that question to Jesus? What's he doing asking that question? Well, the answer is that the Jesus that John had in his mind was different than the Jesus in the Bible, believe it or not. And why was that the case? Because for John, the Messiah, the Christ, he was going to come, and just as he told the Pharisees in verse 7, he was going to bring wrath. He was going to bring God's judgment. All of God's enemies were going to be judged. They were going to be punished. They were going to be killed. For example, in the Old Testament book of Isaiah chapter 11, verse 4, this is a prophecy of what the Christ, the Messiah, would do someday in the future when he came to earth. The Christ shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. This was who John the Baptist knew the Messiah to be. Next verse in Joel. The book of Joel, it says, speaking of the Messiah, the Lord's voice will roar. We're talking like a lion. From Zion and thunder from Jerusalem, and the heavens and earth will shake, but the Lord will be a refuge for his people. This is the Messiah that John the Baptist had read about, which he knew of, was going to come. And he knew that he was announcing this Messiah. It's a very unusual guy. I mean, for food, he ate wild honey and grasshoppers, and he grew up in the deserts by himself. Just him and the Lord, speaking of fasting. By the way, you know, no wild honey and locusts when you're fasting. It's a water fast, just kidding. But he grew up that way, and so... And now he's sending to Jesus, wait a second, are you the one or do we wait on another? Let's continue there and go back to Matthew chapter 3 and find out how he got into jail. Like what happened he winds up in jail? In verse 13 of Matthew 3, it says this, then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. So Jesus himself was baptized by John the Baptist. John the Baptist. In chapter 4, verse 12, move on to chapter 4, verse 12, it says, when Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he departed to Galilee. So John was put in prison. Why? Because the king, King Herod, had taken his brother's wife as his own wife, and John the Baptist got in his face and said, who do you think you are? What are you doing? That's evil, what you're doing. And you know, kings at that time, you got into big trouble. He was put in prison by the king. So now he is in prison, and it says when Jesus had heard that, Jesus moves out into the public space, and within days, thousands are going to be following Jesus. But part of the reason that happened was because John the Baptist told him, he's coming. The Messiah is coming. The Christ is coming. So in verse 17 of chapter 4, it says, from that time, Jesus began to preach and say, repent. What does that mean? Again, stop doing whatever you've been doing. Turn around. Turn to the Messiah. Turn to me. Turn to Jesus Christ. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And so thousands of people begin to follow him. And at the beginning of chapter 5, there's this great multitude. Everyone with me? Chapter 5 of Matthew. And it says, and seeing the multitude, he, Jesus, went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. And then he opened his mouth, and he taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit. Next verse, blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Verse 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Verse 7, blessed are the merciful. So stay with me now. John begins to hear what Jesus is teaching and preaching. And John's thinking, blessed are the merciful. What about the book of Joel where that lion, the roar, comes and shakes and destroys and slays the wicked? What is going on? Let's continue there with Jesus' teaching. Blessed are the pure in heart, verse 8. Verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers. John the Baptist is hearing this and thinking, you got to be kidding me. the peacemakers. Go to chapter 5 of Matthew. And this is probably, it was after hearing this that he sends his two disciples. He says in verse 43, so famously in Matthew 5, verse 43, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. So John is thinking, that's not the guy I was not announcing. When I said there's one coming after me, whose sandal I'm not even worthy to tie, he's mightier than I baptize you with water. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. That's not the guy that I was announcing. And so he sends, again, let's go back to Matthew 11. He sends a messenger, and two of them, and they said in verse 3, so are you the Christ? Are you the coming one? Or do we look for another? So what was the problem with John's question? It was John's understanding of who Jesus Christ was. It is absolutely the case. These verses, John Santos, can I have again Joel or Isaiah? It is the case that one day the Lord's voice will roar from Zion and thunder from Jerusalem and the heavens and earth will shake. That is absolutely the case. That is a promise. It's an ironclad promise. Jesus will come back a second time and there's going to be a tremendous judgment. It's what the whole book of Revelation is about. Not the whole book, about 90% of it. Last book of the Bible is about Jesus' second coming. But here, listen to me, Calvary Chapel, very important. Before coming to earth for judgment, the Messiah Jesus had to come to earth for what? Salvation. Salvation. And the Old Testament prophets, which John had, he had them, he knew them, they were really clear about it. Really clear that Messiah had to come first for salvation, and he would not be a lion, he would be a what? A lamb. Right here, Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5. Speaking of Jesus Christ, this was written 750 years before Jesus was born. But it's speaking of the cross, Jesus dying on the cross. It's a prophecy of the cross, but he was pierced for our transgressions, meaning our sin. He was crushed for our iniquity, meaning that evil that resides in us. Jesus paid for it. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. Isaiah 53:5. But importantly, John also knew just a couple verses later what it said, the next verse here in Isaiah, verse 7, he, speaking of Messiah, was oppressed and afflicted, and yet he opened not his mouth. What? The Messiah would be afflicted, he would be oppressed, and he doesn't do anything about it? It says he opened not his mouth. He was led as a what? Lamb, not a lion, he was led as a lamb to the slaughter. You needed, and I needed, your sin problem dealt with before Jesus' second coming, because If Jesus comes without your sin problem being dealt with, you're in deep trouble. Eternal trouble. We're talking eternal hell apart from God. So Jesus came first time for salvation. The second time, which is in the future, at a time we don't know, all I know is prophecy, after 2,000 years, with the Bible prophecy that Israel would be regathered to a nation, that happened in 1948, there's stuff happening. It appears to be near, so it's a lot nearer than it was 2,000 years ago. He'll come a second time, but that time it will be for judgment. And so John had formulated, listen, a Jesus in his own mind that was different than the Jesus of the Bible. And Jesus is going to correct him lovingly, but he's going to correct him. I mean, can you imagine? A guy who's dressed in camel's hair, eats wild honeys, says to the religious leaders, "You brood of snakes, who warned you to come here?" Like, would you go and get in that guy's face and confront him, even lovingly? I don't know about me. You're Jesus. He's just every molecule of courage. Jesus Christ. And he confronts John in Matthew chapter 11 firmly but lovingly. He says in verse 4, read it with me, "Go and tell John the things which you hear and see." Is what he's saying to these two guys who were sent by John. The blind see, the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And here's the rebuke. Blessed is the one who is not offended because of me. So they go off and they tell John that response. So now when John heard that response, he would have known exactly what Jesus was communicating, because the Old Testament prophets, of whom he was very familiar with, were very clear that when the Christ came, there would be an outpouring of miracles that will never have been seen before or since. So, for example, in the book of Isaiah chapter 35, it says that when Messiah comes, you will know that Messiah is here. There's going to be a lot of false messiahs, but you're not going to see this from them. When you see the Christ, this is what signs that will accompany the coming of Christ. The eyes of the blind shall be open, the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. The lame shall leap like a deer, the tongue of the dumb sing, for water shall burst forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. Next verse, Isaiah 61 verse 1 says, this is also written before, this is a prophecy of what the Christ will say and do when he comes. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." And Jesus says these very words in Luke chapter 4, that these are written 750 years before Jesus was born. This was a prophecy of what Christ would say and do, "because he has anointed me to" what? "To preach the gospel to the poor." We come here to Calvary Chapel. I hope you've come here to Calvary Chapel ready to do business with God. My question to you this morning is this. Have you formed a Jesus in your mind that is different than the Jesus in the Bible? Be careful before you say, oh, no, I would never do that. Oh, really? John the Baptist did it. Are you not above that? Have you formed a Jesus in your mind that is different than the Jesus in the Bible? For example, in John chapter 14, verse 6, it says this. Jesus says in John 14, 6, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, if that's offensive to you, there is one and only one way to God. Well, you have a picture of Jesus. It's not the Jesus of the Bible. If you're familiar with the Bible, the real question is that there would be any way for you and me to get to heaven. That's the unfair thing. That's what's terribly unfair. But the Bible says, again, John 14, chapter 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Again, Jesus says in Matthew 11, 6, blessed is he who's not offended. Can we have that again, John? Who's not offended because of this. How about this? Oh, man. Make some of you uncomfortable here. It's uncomfortable preaching it. Next verse. The Bible says Jesus is the Word of God, and the Word of God says this, walk in love as Christ also loved us. Oh, I'm all for love. Love is great. Love, 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 love. What is love? Actually, it describes it. It says, but fornication, having sex outside of marriage, that's what fornication is not love. Is that offensive to you? If it is, you have a Jesus that's not the Jesus of the Bible. But fornication and uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be even named among you, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, like dirty jokes. And come on, what kind of religious prude? Jesus is your religious prude. If that's the way you're thinking, and you have a different Jesus than the Jesus of the Bible. But rather the giving of thanks. Well, you're not going to make me into one of those sappy religious people who's thankful for everything, are you? Jesus says in verse 6, blessed is the one who is not offended because of me. Okay, well, he's not going to go to that place, is he? Yeah, I will. Next verse says, this is Jesus speaking. This is Jesus Christ speaking. This is the Jesus of the Bible. Have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female? And said, for this reason, the man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Listen, I get it. I get it where there's just a spirit of the age that has a really wrong view of Jesus. That's just trying to convince our children that it's okay to change gender. But if it offends you that's wrong, you don't believe in the Jesus of the Bible. You're believing a different Jesus. Because he says, this is Jesus speaking. He who made them at the beginning made them male and female. But then it goes on, For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, speaking of a biological male and a biological female being joined. And that is the only Bible that's ever sanctioned by Jesus Christ. Matthew 11:6. Blessed, exceedingly joyful is the one who is not offended because of me. John, do you have the verse from Ephesians 4? This is John. There's John the Baptist and there's John the Superstar. And he's back there. Oh, wait, maybe. Did I talk too soon? It's over here. This is such a big one for me, just for, with my history. I was telling one of the brothers before the service, I was your typical American dude, tackle football. I was a cornerback getting mud all over my face every day. Football practice in the summer. The Bible says, walk worthy of the calling which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness and long-suffering. And I can tell you, 1,000 times, I tried to get out of this verse. I tried to wiggle out of it. Gentleness is not me. It's not a real man. A man. They're not gentle. What's the problem with that? The verses say at the end of this chapter, Matthew 11, come to me, all you who are heavy laden. I will give you rest because I am lowly and gentle of heart. My problem was that I had a Jesus different than the Jesus of the Bible. I had to make a decision. Was I going to be exceedingly joyful accepting the Jesus of the Bible? Natalia, years into my Christian walk, I tried to convince myself otherwise. Next verse. John, do we have, here we go. Luke, we've already read this, except it was in Isaiah 61, but Jesus, speaking of himself to a group of people in a synagogue, reads the book of Isaiah and attributes the verse to himself. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. One of the marks of Jesus Christ in all whose life is Jesus Christ. Colossians 3:4 says, Christ is your life, Calvary Chapel. One of the marks of that is love for the poor. Reaching out to the poor, welcoming the poor. Now, most people in churches, they hear this and they nod their heads. Yes, that's just beautiful. Our faith is so beautiful. But if you ask them to actually go into a poor neighborhood and be with the poor, well, no, that's not my calling. I'm fine with the poor, but let them come to me. Let them come to us. If that's your attitude, it means that there's a part of you who believe in a Jesus that's not the Jesus of the Bible. Well, it's not safe in those neighborhoods going to the poor, to where the poor are. Oh, really? I got to tell you something. Following Jesus is not safe. Can we just say that? There's an American church lie that somehow we get to keep everything safe. That's an American church lie. It just simply is not true. You will not find a single verse in the Bible that says that following Jesus is safe. And I'm not talking now about is spiritually safe, because yes, it's spiritually dangerous to be a Christian too. I'm talking about physical. You're not going to find a single verse in the Bible that says that following Jesus is physically safe. You will read in the Bible, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no harm, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. That's what you read in the Bible. So Nicole's here. Nicole, can you come up? See, Jasmine, it's not just you that I call up. So today, Nicole is going, after the service, right into the projects a quarter of a mile away, and she's going to be handing out flyers, knocking on doors. You're looking too humble. Put your head up here. Solomon, is that okay? I got it, yes. Just that way everyone knows. Knocking on doors with a few others to invite kids to our vacation Bible outreach. It's not a particularly safe neighborhood. But she's going there, and she needs people. She needs people today. She's going to be in the back of the room, and she would love to have you join her, go into the neighborhood today and give out flyers and knock on doors. For 20 years, we've had a mission in that neighborhood of bringing those kids here to this church. There's people in our church today that are here today because of kids that were real little came a long time ago. And so she needs help. You're good. That's good. She needs help today, and she will be in the back. Again, Jesus said what? He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." Now, get ready to be challenged with this one, Calvary Chapel. As most of you know, our church location is going to be moving sometime between probably now and the end of the year. And there's a very strong possibility that we will be moving into a poor neighborhood. And it may be a neighborhood that's going to make you feel uncomfortable. But listen, the Bible says without faith it's impossible to please God. In Calvary Chapel, faith is ever and always calling you out of your safety zone, your comfort zone, always. You stop going out of your safety and comfort zone, your faith, your spirit's going to begin to shrivel up. And the good news is this. Blessed is he who is not offended because of who I am. And who is he? We read it in chapter 11, Matthew. Verse 5 says, "The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the good news of Jesus Christ preached to them." That's who we are, Calvary Chapel. I'm going to bring up one more verse, I'd like the worship team to get up, and if you've been asked to pray, to please come up at this time. To me, when you're talking about the subject of forming another Jesus in your mind different than the Jesus of the Bible, and again, it happened to John the Baptist. It can happen to you and me. The verse that's probably the best example in the Bible of the verse that really is an indictment of many in the church today, the Church of Jesus Christ, particularly in the United States of America. We were in all last week. All last week, we were in this verse. Matthew chapter 10:39. "He who finds his life will lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake will find it." And what so often happens in the church, and this is an epidemic in the church in the United States of America. It's like the Jesus that is preached, you bring in whatever dream you have, whatever dream that you grew up with, and then you say, okay, now, good, Jesus is going to help me out with this dream. But that's a big no-no. Because Matthew 10:39 says, he who finds his life will lose it. He who insists on holding on to his dream and saying, come on, Jesus, come along. Help me out with this dream. You're going to lose it. And this is talking about eternity. This is talking, you're not going to get that relationship with God that you want. But he who loses his life for my sake, he who hands over their life saying, okay, I get it. I'm done with insisting on my version of how my life is going to become. I'm just going to let you make all the decisions. Take it, Jesus. It says, he who loses his life for my sake will find it. You know what the irony is? A lot of time, that thing that you want real bad in your life, if you just give it to Jesus, he'll give it right back to you, anoint it, and it'll happen. But so many people, no, they're not going to do that. And it's what the Bible calls idolatry, idolatry of self. And guess what it is? It's a different Jesus. The Jesus of the Bible, he doesn't pull any punches. He who finds his life, he who insists on making his life and living it for whatever dream, whatever idea, whatever they, you know, whatever you have in mind that you really got to have, you're going to lose it. But he who loses his life for my sake will find it. And with that, the exceeding joy that we heard about right before the message. If you could stand, we're going to close with a worship song. And I will just say, if there's anything at all in this message that has stirred your heart, and you just like to pray about it, you feel like there's some part of your life, you did the John the Baptist thing, which, by the way, we've all done. You formed a Jesus, you've molded a Jesus, you've created a Jesus in the image that you want, and you gotta let it go. Come on up, we'll pray about that. Just join the club. We've all done the same thing, but we had to pray our way out of it. Talked a lot about John the Baptist today. He began the baptism thing. Jesus went and got baptized. And has commanded us to be baptized. If you've never been baptized, after declaring your faith in Jesus, come on up. Talk to us about it. We have a baptism this Saturday. You'll be baptized. But let's worship. Let's close in worship. Pray and worship. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. I thank you for doing business with us today. I thank you for doing heart surgery. Every time we open the Bible, Lord, you do heart surgery. We thank you. We need it. We love you, Lord. We want to be like you. Your word says, you seek me and find me. If you seek me, you will find me. Search with me for me with all your heart, Lord. And God, our eyes are on you. Change us to change our hearts. In Jesus' name.